This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Resolved.
It's the end of the year, the end of 2020. Anybody happy about that? The end of 2020, we turn the page and we see 2021, and we think just by turning the calendar, everything is going to be different. We kind of, if you've been doing this for a while... Being from the end of the year to the beginning of the next year, you know, that doesn't always quite work out like that, but we live in that hope and anticipation. But one of the things that people do about this time of the year, January, December 27th, is they begin to develop a series of resolutions, things that they want to do, you know, lifestyle changes, changes in behavior. We want to lose 20 pounds. We want to exercise. We want to do better with our finances. By February 1st, kind of everything's dissolved into, what was that I said? This lack of stick-to-itiveness has permeated every aspect of our lives. Someone once proposed this. We should be persistent and not known as good starters, but poor finishers. And that's the way it is in our lives a lot of times. We start out really filled with energy. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. A lot of new Christians are like that, filled with the energy, filled with the fire of their salvation. And after a while, it peters out. I'll tell you this. If I didn't feel that fire in my belly to preach and to share the gospel, I would not be standing here. If you're missing that, you're missing everything as a pastor. And so we want to be a good finisher. President Calvin Coolidge, who supposedly never smiled, but he said this, nothing can take the place of persistence. Talent won't, genius won't, education won't. Persistence and determination alone prevail. The slogan, press on, has solved and always will work to solve our problems. Well, that may seem unbiblical, but it's not. Listen to what Paul writes by God's inspiration, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I've not made it yet. I'm still working on it. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When you gave your heart to the Lord, that wasn't the end. That was just the beginning. A lot of people miss that. Well, now that I'm saved, and now that I'm baptized, well, now that you're saved and now that you've been baptized, that is just home base. And now you've got to get yourself all around the bases, and that takes a lifetime. It's said of the postage stamp, and I like this, its true value and usefulness consists in the ability to stick to one thing till it gets there. Amen? Pressing on, running the race, faithfulness, steadfastness, the Bible describes as qualities that should be active in the life of the believer and in the church. Let's stand together for the reading of our scripture text this morning. It comes from Acts chapter 2. It's verses 41 to 47, and I'll read that to you this morning as we stand in respect to God's word. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Thank you. You may be seated. So, verse 42 says, the early church was marked by this steadfastness. They got converted, and then they were committed. Commitment always follows conversion. If this is the real deal, you'll be committed to it. You'll take it seriously. This will not just be a Sunday thing. This is where so many of us who label ourselves Christians miss the mark. It's not a Sunday thing. It's a life thing, amen? This is not just coming to Sunday and punching in your card when you get in and punching out your card when you go out and saying, well, I did it. You didn't do it. You did one tiny piece of it. It's your everyday living that matters. These believers were committed to the teaching of God's word, the fellowship of other believers, a deep prayer life, and support for the church body. They did not lose their focus, and they did not lose their passion. Verse 47 says that God honored their faithfulness by adding souls to the church. We don't build the church. God builds the church. What do you do, and what do I do? We do our part. We encourage people to come. We share our testimony with folks. When we hear somebody is disillusioned with life or disappointed in life or so fearful for COVID or any other negative emotions that can come into our heart, we want to share the reason for our hope and the reason for our joy and the reason why we have a positive attitude and the reason why we have a hope that goes beyond the circumstance. We want to share Jesus. When you do your part, and then when people come, I must do my part, and you must do your part to welcome them, and I must do my part to teach the truth in love. They didn't let apathy erode their commitment. They didn't let disagreement separate them. They didn't allow anything to take priority over Jesus and his church. They kept on keeping on. We've been here since 1733. Some of you, I don't think so. God places great value on faithfulness for one reason, because it is such a scarce commodity among us. Jesus said this in Matthew 24:46, blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. In other words, I'm looking to see if you're being steadfast. I'm looking to see if you take it seriously. We find favor with God and man and real satisfaction when we are faithfully doing what God has called us. We have so many people involved in our ministry, especially when we're ministry is full-time, when we're all gathered together on a Sunday morning and not over the telephone, when all of us are gathered together, there are so many aspects to our ministry and so many opportunities for people to serve within this ministry. And those who do serve, I have found, have been so faithful to their calling. And I thank you so much for being so faithful, whether it's the PowerPoint or the music or the singing or the recording back there, the radio ministry, so many aspects of our ministry just on a Sunday morning that you can see as so evident. The deacons, the trustees, everybody who has a part in this ministry, my experience with you, and you will probably amen it, is that those folks have been so faithful. Here's what Paul writes in Acts 20:20-22-24. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying, those bonds and afflictions abide me. 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. What is he saying? He's saying, no matter what comes my way, nothing will move me from being faithful to Jesus. Real life. As you read that text, he's saying a lot of things are waiting for me. And some of them are not very, very positive. Some of them are downright dangerous. There are people out there waiting to get me. Now, he wasn't being emotionally distressed. He wasn't walking around with unfounded fears. There were threats on Paul's life all the time. We think of those kinds of things going in our time and in our day, among politicians being threatened all the time. So Paul says, no matter what comes my way, despite the fact that I know hard times are ahead, I am not going to walk away from the Lord. I'm determined to hang on. Matthew 25:21, this is what the Lord says. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. These are the words you want to hear. Amen. These are the words I want to hear. When I stand before the Lord, I want him to look at me and I want him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I don't feel like I'm worthy of that. I don't feel like I've done anything to make him say that. In fact, I think of, maybe you do too. Instead of seeing things that might say that that's what he's going to say, I think of the things and the reasons why he wouldn't say that to me. And I would be humbled by that. But that's what Christians are awaiting, to be told by the Lord that you've been faithful. Jesus tells us the key to a victorious Christian life is one word, endurance. Endurance. To endure means to continue. The synonyms that mean the same words and phrases, persist, remain steadfast, hold on, hang on, bear up, go through, be brave, live through, live out. No place in that list of synonyms does it say give up. We can't give up. The worst thing a Christian can do, get saved and give up. Been a Christian for a while and give up. When we sin, and if we are in that place where we're sinning, we need to remember the remedy for that is confession and repentance, not quitting. I can't do this, it's too hard. Never give up, never quit, whether you feel like it or not. Now there's the big bugaboo, F-E-E-L, feeling. We can't be led by a feeling, although our culture is permeated with feelings. This is I'll use the big word, very emotive culture and society we live in. All they think about are feelings. Feelings, how we feel, emotions. It's all about emotions. We don't want to give up. We don't want to quit based on how we feel. What miserable words and what a dismal excuse for failure to endure is the words, I just don't feel like it. Or, I don't feel the way I used to. How many people have used that as an excuse to get out of a marriage? I just don't feel the way I used to feel. The spark is just not there. What if Jesus said as he approached death on the cross, I don't feel like it? Or what if he said, well, Friday's not really good for me? What if feelings got to do with it anyway? A true story is told of a commuter flight from Portland, Maine to Boston. Now, some of you have heard me tell this story before. The pilot heard an unusual noise near the rear of the small aircraft. He turned the controls over to the co-pilot and went back to investigate. As he reached the tail section, the plane hit an air pocket. He was tossed against the rear door. He quickly discovered the source of the mysterious noise. The rear door had not been properly latched prior to takeoff, and it flew open. He was instantly sucked out of the jet. The co-pilot, seeing the red light that indicated an open door, radioed the nearest airport, requesting permission to make an emergency landing. He reported that the pilot had fallen out of the plane and requested a helicopter search of that area of the ocean. After the plane landed, they found the pilot, Henry Dempsey, holding onto the outdoor ladder of the aircraft. Somehow he had caught the ladder, held on for 10 minutes as the plane flew 200 miles an hour at an altitude of 4,000 feet, and then landing kept his head from hitting the runway. It took several minutes to pry Dempsey's finger off that ladder. Giving up was not an option for Captain Dempsey, and it's not for you either. You've got to hang on with your fingertips for all you're worth when you're going through something and it seems like you can't hear God's voice. It seems like your prayers are smacking up against the wall or the ceiling, not getting anywhere. And you want to throw the whole thing overboard because your feelings are telling you, what's the sense of this? Hang on. Don't give up. Don't give in to those feelings. You see, the truth is that you know life can get a little turbulent from time to time. You may not feel like holding on to the Lord and his promises, but have you considered the alternative of not doing that? What would you do without the Lord? Those of us who have been believers for a while look back on life and say, having been through this and having been through that, I ask myself, and I've asked you the same question so many times, how could I ever have gotten through this without the Lord? I have four keys from Scripture to help you stay on course. Key number one. Key number one is found in Ecclesiastes verses 4 and 5. Ecclesiastes 5, verses 4 and 5. And it says this, when you make a vow or a promise, do what you say you're going to do. This is a spiritual principle, and it's also a life principle. When you tell somebody you're going to do something, do it. It's called being reliable. And in business, if you can be counted as reliable, that is of great value to your employer. Do what you say you're going to do in this life. Again, quitting is not an option. You won't lose a pound if you quit with your resolution to lose weight. You won't save a dime if you quit in your resolution to be financially more responsible. Your family and friends will not see Christ in your living if you quit. The church will not continue to go forward if you quit. Will not be able to support ministries throughout the world, build another handicap ramp, bring meals to another family, help the needy in our community, bring gifts to prisoners' children in Trenton, or introduce our neighbors to Christ if you quit. Don't quit. Don't tire. Don't run out of steam. Key number two. Remember, commitment is an act of your will. Whatever you set your sights on, commitment must be supporting it. And it's going to take an act of your will. Daniel 1:8. Daniel 1:8. It says in that verse that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He said inside himself, I'm not going to let this happen. I'm not going to defile myself with another woman. I'm not going to defile myself in my thought life. In Job 27, verses 5 and 6, Job said, till I die, I will not forsake my integrity. I will hold fast and not let go. And look at all he went through. In the midst of all the tourists that he was going through, he said, I will not give in. The truth is this. You will do what you propose to do. You'll find the time to do what you want to do. You'll find the finances to buy the things you want. Isn't that the truth? You'll find whatever it takes, if you really want to do something, to do it. And that goes back to number one, whatever you propose to do, do it. Yet so many can only make it to church occasionally because they're too busy. We can't find time to exercise, read a book, spend time in meditation, or help somebody in need. Unless you swim against the tide of apathy and inertia, you'll never be all God intended for you. You're missing out on all that God has. If you won't be resolved. Key number three, don't lose focus and don't get sidetracked. 2 Kings 22:2. He, King Josiah, did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of David, his father, and look, turned neither aside to the right or to the left. Made up his mind, stayed focused, and didn't get off in the weeds, kept on the path. Easy to get sidetracked with so many distractions and demands. The Bible gives weight to being single-minded. Once you've made a decision, don't let the cares of your life drag you aside. Don't be distracted. And there's so much to be distracted by in our society today. So many places that dissipate our energies and sap us of our strength to do what we said we were going to do. Key number four, believe. One word, believe. Luke 1:37. You remember this verse from the last couple of weeks. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. We don't fully know what the power of the Holy Spirit can accomplish in our lives. I'll say that for me, and I'll say that for you. God's led me in directions in my life. I had no idea what he was going to do at the end of that journey or that trial. And then I looked back and I saw what God had accomplished. And I was amazed. What a wonderful place it is to be in God's will and in God's plan for your life. So many adventures, so many surprises. Life is full of surprises. But God's plan is full of surprises too, because it gets revealed week after week, month after month throughout your life. God allows us to reach beyond ourselves and tap a wellspring of possibilities that on our own we could only imagine. God honors faithfulness, and it's the one thing we all possess. If you have it within you, with God's strength to make much out of little, you have it within you with God's help to realize the dreams he has given you. God has a plan for every life. Sometimes those plans are revealed in dreams. Something you feel you must do. I told my cousin John and Lou D'Amato many, many years ago that I felt the call of the Lord on my heart. I think I was a teenager. And it took all that time for God to realize that dream. And yet I could look back and I could see all the ways that he was preparing me to be standing in front of you today. I have to look back to see some of that. But I know that I walk by faith and not by sight. I know that I don't have to know where the end is because I'm trusting the Lord. I know sometimes it doesn't seem that there is an end, but I'm trusting the Lord. I know that sometimes it seems like I'm making too many mistakes, going down too many blind alleys and down too many rabbit holes. And yet I find that when I've come through all of that, I look back and say, I got it. Boy, how dumb, how blind was I not to see that before? So don't put a limit on what God can do with you and through you, and don't minimize your godly potential. Don't put the vision God has given you in a box and close the lid. Why aren't we dreaming more about what God has for us? Why aren't we asking God, reveal it to me? Why aren't we pleading with the Lord to show us what he would have for us in this life? Some of you already know what that is. Some of you are already marching to those drums. And I thank God for it. Be what God would have you to be. All that it takes for you to be is faithful, committed, resolved, and simply do what you say you will do. God's commentary on humanity in Genesis has always thrilled me. And then I look at it and I roll it around in my mind and I look at the 21st century and I see how true it is. God said in his first commentary about man, roughly, whatever they imagine, they can do. Whatever they imagine, they can do. 1901, the Kitty Hawk, flight. Today, space travel. Who would have imagined? Back in the early 19th century, the guy who was in charge of the patent office said, all of the inventions that could possibly be ever invented have been invented already. There's nothing that's going to come forward. At the beginning of the 20th century, that was like 1900. How wrong was that bird? Whatever they imagine they can do, and my hope for you is that you dream big. Dream big. Imagine your whole family saved. Imagine this community, Delaware Township. Imagine all the folks here saved, the people you know. Imagine them saved. Imagine your family saved. What will you do to make that dream come true? And why not dream big? Why not see them all saved? Imagine this church filled and overflowing with your family, your friends, and your neighbors. Not people you don't know, although it would be great to bring them in, but just the people you do know. When God gives you a vision, let me tell you what they would teach you in seminary. Go for it. When God gives you a vision, go for it. You got a vision of seeing your family, your brother, your sister, your daughter, your son, your grandchild saved. Go for that. Pray that. Believe that. Be faithful to that. And don't quit. Mary Kay, some of you may know her. She was the founder of Mary Kay Cosmetics. Here's what she said. My company mascot is a bumblebee. Because of its tiny wings and heavy body, aerodynamically, the bumblebee shouldn't be able to fly. But it doesn't know that. And so it flies anyway. That's you. Satan wants to plant in your mind that that vision of seeing your family here beside you can't possibly happen. It's impossible, you say. And I say, with God, nothing is impossible. Only believe. Believe. And then live that dream out in what you say and what you do. The same God who created you, the same God who lives in you, is the same God who made the bumblebee fly. He doesn't call us to be successful. He calls us to be faithful, resolved to do just that in 2021. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would give us the strength, the vision, the dreams to be all that we could possibly be for the kingdom. Lord, there could be nothing stopping us except us listening to our feelings, listening to our self-doubts, listening to our negative thoughts, listening to Satan himself, that we can't do that. My husband can't come to Christ. My daughter can't come to Christ. I'll try my best. We've got to tell, we've got to show, and then we've got to leave the rest to you, dear Lord. And if there be any who do not know Jesus Christ within the sound of my voice today, why not you? Why not you be able to soar? Why not you be able to find purpose in your life? There's something missing if you don't have Christ. You may have money. You may have many possessions. You may have a great job and a great education. But everything kind of feels empty. There's only one thing that can fill that empty feeling, and that's Jesus. Claim him as your Lord and Savior this morning. Ask him to forgive you of your sin. Recognize his death, burial, and resurrection. And ask him to come into your heart today. Ask him to forgive you of your sin. If you do that, Jesus will do. And your days of dreaming will just begin. Amen and amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org. Or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.